From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is, wait, don't tell me, the NPR News Quiz. I know you're tired, LeBron. Pass the ball to me. I'm LaBill, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, filling in for Peter Sagal, it's Helen Hong.
Exactly what you're thinking. Where is Peter Sagal and who the hell are you? I am guest host Helen Hong, and Peter is off this week in Singapore, where he was hired to be the entertainment at the North Korean Peace Summit. Awkward. Somebody really should tell him. Later on, comedian and actor Retta from Parks and Recreation will be here to play the game. But first, it's your turn, so give us a call and play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. I'm thrilled to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Chris calling from Syracuse.
Hi, Chris, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What are you doing in Syracuse?
Just, you know, waiting for it to snow again.
Well, it's May now, so, you know, it'll be any second.
That's right, yep.
Well, Chris, it's great to have you with us. Are you ready to meet our panel?
I couldn't be more excited.
Oh. First up, it's writer, performer, and co-host of the forthcoming podcast, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, it's Adam Felber.
Hi there, Chris.
Good to meet you, Adam.
Next, it's the comedian and the other co-host of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. You can catch her at the Chevalier Theater in Medford, Massachusetts on June 23rd. It's Paula Poundstone. And finally, a comedian and the man behind the new Netflix special, Warn Your Relatives, my old buddy from New York, Hari Kondabolu. Chris, I am pumped, I tell you, for you to play Who's Bill This Time, where Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, any voice from our show you choose on your voicemail. Are you ready?
That sounds fantastic.
All right, here is your first quote.
This is a total goat rodeo.
That was arms control expert Jeffrey Lewis on Thursday giving his view of the U.S.'s relationship with whom?
You know, I'm not positive, but I really feel like North Korea could be that answer.
That is correct. Great job. The U.S.-North Korean Peace Summit fell apart this week, guys, when they found out about this. The folks on the Nobel Peace Prize Committee moved President Trump's nomination from the never-gonna-happen pile to the never-ever-gonna-happen pile. But it is not all bad news. Before things collapsed, the White House minted a coin commemorating the summit. It's really nice. Have you guys seen this? One side shows Trump and Kim. The other side shows a cart in front of a horse. And the cart is filled with unhatched chickens. Have you guys seen this thing?
I've seen this thing, and what are they going to do with it now? And also, if any of you are wondering what the future of Bitcoin looks like.
I heard the website where they sell it went down.
Yes.
Because so many people, because now it's a collector's item even
it's,
more.
It's an upside down plane on a stamp now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now once they screwed it up, it's more valuable, which may have been the plan the whole time. It may have been a backdoor way for Trump to make more money.
Yes.
But the weird thing is, without the summit, it's more likely that there'll be a nuclear war that ends everything, meaning that the coin is worthless.
Oh, that's ironic.
Oh,
we're all going to die.
Hilarious. My dad, who is a South Korean immigrant, actually called me and asked me if I have a hookup to get a handful of the coins. I'm assuming that because if South Korea does go up in flames, he has a physical item that he can throw on the floor and spit on and stomp on angrily.
I love it that your dad thought that because you work on Wait, Don't Tell Me, that you had access to the White House gift shop.
Yeah. I was like, Dad, you should see what it's like here. Like, there's barely chairs. It's public radio, Dad.
Can I just ask, does anybody, all due respect to the military expert, but does anybody get the goat rodeo thing?
Yeah, that's made up, right?
There's no such, I guess it's like a herding kittens, right? Or like, you know, a sack full of squirrels. It's supposed to connote chaos, I guess?
Yeah.
Or just a bad rodeo? Or
So wait, let me get this straight. You've never been to a goat rodeo? I always feel so stupid when I'm on the panel with all these intellectuals, and then this one time, there's something I know about.
You've been to a goat rodeo.
Of course I've been to a goat rodeo.
What's it like?
I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts. You're kidding me? Goat rodeo?
I'm not kidding you.
It's synonymous with the...
All right, Chris, here is your next quote.
All right.
We're going to give people the key, but we don't want them to become a public bathroom.
That was a company announcing a new policy. You don't have to buy anything to use their restroom. Who was it?
I think it's those guys from the West Coast. They're a real small artisanal place. Starbucks.
Correct. Starbucks. Great job, Chris. Starbucks is open for business, guys. Your business. The policy says, quote, any person who enters our spaces, including our restrooms, regardless of whether they make a purchase, is considered a customer. That seems nice, but maybe this is a brilliant ploy to make bathrooms so disgusting that no one will actually want to use them anymore. You're gonna be like, hey, barista, make my Americano with an extra shot. A hepatitis shot, am I right?
Well, maybe it is a way of getting more customers so that when people come in and use the bathroom and they can really tell that their intention was just to use the bathroom and leave, that they just knock on the door, they go, can we get you a coffee? Do you want a coffee? It's because they're vulnerable at that point.
Look, I'm a parent. I go around with kids who need to use the bathroom all the time, and I can tell you that this is nothing. This is an existing policy. I have frequently gone into Starbucks to use the bathroom without buying anything. All you have to be is polite and white.
Right. Exactly. That is exactly right. It's true.
Politics.
It's true because
not
ostensibly...
Not so complicated, people.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because ostensibly Starbucks is doing this bathroom policy in response to the uproar after two black men in Philly were arrested for asking to use the bathroom while waiting for their friend before ordering, which I don't think... The problem was the bathroom, Starbucks. I think the problem was your racism.
Do you know when I knew that Starbucks was racist? It's when they introduced that blonde roast. Explain that to me. Why does coffee need to be blonde all of a sudden? Well, does it have Aryan blood in it? Why is it the you, originally, apparently, they want to call it the master roast, but... It didn't test well, so they went with the blonde roast.
You know, in fairness to Starbucks, they did have a day where they did race sensitivity training. So that should be all taken care of by now.
All right, Chris, here is your last quote.
I'll read the Bible instead.
That was one of many people declaring they'd boycott Netflix after the company announced a big production deal with whom?
Would that be the first African-American president of the United States of America?
That is true, yes.
All right.
And the first lady. Barack and Michelle Obama. This week, the Obamas signed a massive multi-year deal for both scripted and unscripted content for Netflix. We were all wondering what Obama would do next, and this is it. Jimmy Carter is 200 years old and still building houses for poor people. And Obama is using his powers to convince Jennifer Aniston to do a Friends reboot. Netflix has not revealed exactly what shows the Obamas will be producing, but at this point, if it's just 6 hours of Bo the dog licking his own nuts, half of America will watch it. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
What?
No, not the nuts part. The Obama deal part.
Oh, I heard about the Obama deal.
Yeah.
But that's not what piqued my interest.
The Bo the dog?
Yeah, so my dog had an injury, and they gave me, you know, he had surgery, and then they gave me pain pills for him. And I was just like, he doesn't need pain pills. He can lick his own He administers his own pain medication. I heard nothing about animals at the vet?
I heard that's just as addictive as opioids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but the clinics are more interesting.
Bill, how did Chris do on the quiz?
Chris is hot. He got all three right.
There you go.
Congratulations, Chris.